Well, I guess I got only got one ear today. I don't know, it ain't working right. I'll have to try the other jack or whatever. I don't know.
Okay. Your poor headphones are just screaming for you to let them die.
But they look very pretty.
They are bejeweled.
I know it. And it's like, oh, I don't want to. You know, I like I said, I'll have to ask you. I was remiss on that. I was going to ask her if there's a way that when you, because these are those crystal, what do they call them? Crystal, they're very shiny beads or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what you want to call it.
Like, not sequins. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. They look real. Well, they're crystal. I don't know. But anyway, so yeah. And then, of course, the ear that is working is the ear that I don't have. It doesn't hear well. So this may be very interesting. What? What?
We'll find you some headphones that break.
Oh, well. What could we say? So how the heck are you?
Oh, you know, doing just dandy.
Well, good. You came in without the snow. I came in with the snow. I drove about 60 miles an hour. Oh, I don't know how many years ago it was. It probably had to be 15 or so. I was coming out of the cat show from downtown St. Paul during, you know, the Winter Carnival. And when you're coming 35E or whatever, it just up by Pennsylvania Avenue. But anyway, somebody was coming up on my left side and I could see him. It was snow just like this, very light snow. Mm-hmm. It was just getting started. And they started fishtailing, you know, going back and forth. It's like, oh, crap. Oh, crap. And all of a sudden, bam, slides right into me, sends me flying over to the right. And luckily, there wasn't a semi or something in that far because I was in the middle lane. And it just knocked me clear across. And anyway, I had my Bronco that I love. My Bronco. I loved my Bronco almost as much as I love my Avalanche. But anyway, so, yeah, luckily I was okay. And then, but the truck was a little out.
It's kind of a weird season for that because I feel like Minnesotans in general, they, like, remember how to drive in snow. But because we haven't had, like, any real snow this winter, every time we do get snow, everyone forgets how to drive.
Well, with this snow, though, it's very deceiving because you're not looking at inches.
Yeah.
You know, when it's light like this, it is greasy. Mm-hmm. And people just say, oh, there's nothing there. And all of a sudden, they go to switch lanes and all over they go, you know. And so it's just like, ah, stay in your lane. I stayed in my right lane all the way here. I didn't change lanes at all.
Be safe out there.
Yes. And so that's why I'm just going to, and on the way home, I'll probably take the back roads, you know, like go over up to Lexington and just go straight north to Lexington. To, because like I said, I just stay off the freeway because there's a bunch of idiots. You know, they think that, and these people, I have a 4x, okay? A true 4x. None of this. Never mind. But anyway, a true 4x, all right? Mm-hmm. And so, but people just don't get, number one, ice. Nothing works. And number two, the only great thing about the 4x is when it's deep snow, man, that really helps you out. But you're not going fast. You're taking your time. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is.
I don't know, people, your Jeep's not really going to do much on the highway when if you're dealing with ice and wind.
Oh, yeah. But that ice is, boy, I'll tell you, there was one time up in Forest Lake, I was up there and it just did the switch. You know, it went from kind of like this to everything's freezing. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, everything's a skating rink. And I'm going like 3 miles an hour down 61. And this idiot, of course, I could see him. You know, it's like, you're an idiot. Did you pay attention to the road here? So I just slowly inch my way to the shoulder. And he comes by and then starts doing the swervy thing. And I'm like, oh, God, swerve someplace else. Don't hit me. And he no sooner got, I'd say, about 3-4 car lengths ahead of me. That's what it would have been. But I was ahead, you know. But anyway, yep, in the ditch you went. It's like, hey, can't.
Yeah, I'm sure you're overcorrecting to start you,
yes,
that's throwing the wheel left and right.
Yep, yeah, you can't fix stupid daddy when you're Gorilla tape. I've given up on duct tape. Duct tape is nothing like Gorilla tape. Gorilla tape can do anything. I should be a spokesperson for that. I use Gorilla tape for everything. It's really cool.
It's a stock standard when you're canoeing.
Is it?
Boat repairs in a tube.
Yeah, no, I've given up on duct tape. I have not. The duct tape, you know, it isn't what they used to be. So just like anything else. So I'm here. You're there. Dr. Leibreys didn't come in today. And so it's you, me, and it's us two.
You, me, and the walls.
And the walls. And then whoever calls. Hey, we're poets. And we don't know it. But anyway, just a heads up, too. Now, next Sunday, it's Easter Sunday. And so we will not be live. What we do be doing a best of. So you'll have to wait a couple more weeks. So you should call today to get your corrections, your questions in. And then, of course, if you're going to be having guests for Easter, yeah, you can call about that. We'll work on that. And so just anything, got cat problems, got dog problems, give me a holler. And then mark off your calendar for April 20th. April 20th, well, you can do 19th, 20th, and 21st. That's going to be the grand opening for Spike's Holes up in Forest Lake. And I'll be there all day Saturday, April 20th. April 20th from 10 to 4. And so free samples of Nutrisaurus. They're going to have many, many vendors up there, many things going on. It's their grand opening, and this store is a must-see, folks. A must-see. It's I just walked in there and went, wow. Can I work here? So anyway, so I'm going to be there from 10 to 4 answering your questions. And plus, what I'm doing is I'm putting together, I have about a 22-page handout that I give all my people that take my dog classes that is all about pet nutrition, natural flea and tick control, weight loss for both dogs and cats. It's a very informative thing. And I decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of make it like a not a mini book or whatever type thing. And I'm going to give the first people that stop out on April 20th a free one of those.
Okay? Oh, nice.
Yeah. So anyway, but there's only the first 50. So, and then after that, you can buy it for $99.50. No, just kidding. Just kidding.
College textbook prices here.
But it's very informative, all about pet nutrition, all the supplements I suggest, you know, just everything that you need to know. And so anyway, you take my classes, you get it for nothing. But now decided, you know what? There's a lot of information in there. That'd be something cool. Then people, a reason to stop by and say hi. Mm-hmm. You know, they can get that. So for this, April 20th, 10 to 4, Spike's Holes up in Forest Lake. All 3 days is going to be the grand opening. But I'll just be there on Saturday. And I'll be at the Nutrisaurus booth, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so anything else there, Miss Ellie?
No. Thinking of Easter, don't let your dogs beg for food when, you know, guests come over to your house.
That's good.
I think that's like my biggest animal pet peeve, when other people let their dogs beg for food.
They should be in another room when during dinner time. It should be another room or kenneled. That's
or even if you're in training, you should see that there's a problem with it. Yeah. And I shouldn't be sitting there making eye contact with your Rottweiler a foot away from me drooling.
Yes, yes. Now that drives me nuts too. Is that during dinner or hors d'oeuvres or whatever type thing? Yeah. My thing is that once everybody's seated and cocktails are coming out, if there's a time before before dinner, then bring the dog out, you know, on a leash so you got control. Do the invisible dog, sit on the leash. Okay, or if there's not enough time between everybody getting there, then when dinner starts, wait till after dinner and then bring the dog out and slowly incorporate him.
Another reason it's a major pet peeve of mine is because I think about like how dogs interact with other dogs, and it is so disrespectful in a dog's brain to see you have food and then to be in your space and stare and ask for it and demand
it. Ooh, very good, Ellie. Look at you thinking like a dog. Mm. I'm impressed. That's really cool. That is true. Very true. Okay, hopefully you got a question, or two or three. 651-641-1071. 651-641-1071. Okay, let's see what we're going to do here. Okay, these are... Wait a minute. Let me change the page. You know how there's... different animals have different, when they all gather, they have different names, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, what is what we're looking for is what is this animal? A knot of what? Okay, so we will be back. Hello. Got a question? Please give a call. 651, 429-5433. 429. I did it again. I almost gave my house number out. 651-641-1071.
I was going to say, I don't think that's a call-in number.
There you go. There you go. Come on. We got questions here. What else you got to do on a snowy day, right? All right. What is a knot of what?
Worms?
A knot of that. That would be a good one. This one surprised me. It's toads.
Toads.
It's
interesting.
You see a bunch of toads together. It's called a knot of toads. Isn't that interesting?
That's a knot of toads.
Yeah, no kidding.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yep. Do-do-do. There you go. Wait a minute now. Okay, there we go. Okay, now I'm at Penny. There we are.
What's going on with you today?
I don't know. Well, yesterday we had a first, I've given food cook-offs you know, a lot. I've done them a lot.
Oh, yeah, your chili cook-off.
And we had a chili cook-off yesterday and the puzzle contest, 300-piece mm-hmm. puzzle contest. Well, the winner of the puzzle contest was Barb, and it was 300-piece puzzle. Pieces are pretty good size. It was a cute puzzle, if I do say so myself. But anyway, dogs, of course. But anyway, and she did it in an hour and 20 minutes. Okay, the second place came an hour in 50 minutes. So the third place came an hour and 55 minutes. So ooh. The first was Barb, second was Ann, and the third was Gino. They did the puzzle contest. And then we had 8 people doing the puzzles. And 2 just kind of threw their hands up. Screw this. I'm not doing this anymore. It's like, okay, whatever. So you lost. Well, I appreciate the ones that hung in there and did it. Because it is, you know, sitting there concentrating.
Yeah.
You know, I said, you know, you can do whatever you want. You can get up, walk around. You know, I mean, you're not tied to the table. Got to go potty. Just want to, you know, get away from the puzzle walk. You know, there is no, you're chained to your chair until it's done, you know, type thing.
Yeah.
But what we're going to do, I think the next one, I kept the puzzles. There's 8 of them. What we're going to do is do a team. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do this same puzzle. And then we're going to do a team for the puzzling. So we'll see. But the chili cook-off, we had 6 chilies and it was it's amazing how you could take one thing and have 6 totally different things. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. Let's head to the phone line.
Well, first up, we have Cindy, who has a fear of pit bulls and wants to talk to you about their breed.
Oh, great. Okay. Hey, Cindy, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Katie?
Good, good. So what's up?
Well, I just have a fear of pit bulls.
Okay.
Because of their reputation, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are.
Pit bulls are awesome. The 99.9% of them are awesome dogs. They really are. They're noted for not jumping. Yes, and they're built like a tank, okay? Mm-hmm. But, you know, usually what it is that who's at the end of the leash. It's not the dog, it breed itself. It used to be back in the day, it used to be German Shepherds were the hit, then it was Rottweilers, then it was Dobies, and, you know, you could see those breeds, but pits, a lot of people not sure if it's a pit or not, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that the difference, like I said, 99.9% of all the pits are really friendly, easygoing dog. You know what do you want to call it? It's not the movie, but the sitcom, you know, Little Rascals?
Yeah.
Okay. There, Petey was a pit bull.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh,
and so the
I
thing,
didn't know that.
Yeah, way back then, yeah. That, you know, Petey was a pit bull. And so, okay. Yeah, the thing is that it's just any breed, any dog can be handled wrong and you've got a problem. Okay.
Yep.
And the big thing is with pits, the difference between them and a regular dog, I mean, like a German Shepherd, let's say. If a regular dog bites, they chomp, 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 chomp. Okay?
Yeah.
But when a pit bites, they just bite and hold. That's the thing. They don't chomp, 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 chomp.
Yeah, that's the scary thing.
Right. But then it's also a neat thing, though, because then there's less injury, believe it or not. Because you're not being chomp, 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 chomped on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas it's just one bite and that's it. And so the thing is that, like I said, there's no reason to fear them. I had people that have come over the years that if there was a Doberman in class, they wouldn't come to class. They needed another class without a Doberman. There was one gal that, you know, was a German Shepherd. She had an aversion to German Shepherd. Everybody has their, you know, worriedness. And usually it comes from, you know, either they had an incident themselves, okay, and that's why they're upset. Well, and unfortunately, the pits have gotten so much bad press on TV. You know, and one dog is a dog, 2 dogs is a pack. And so the thing is that a lot of dogs, when they get into packs, whether it's in the country or in the city, will do stupid stuff. And they usually pick on the, if it's going to happen, they pick on, you know, 4 foot and under. And the reason is because of their eye contact. You know, that's why a lot of little kids get bit, is because they stare at the dog and they're at eye level.
Okay.
And so the dog is like, you looking at me? You looking at me? And the kids don't know enough to look away.
Okay.
And if you're ever confronted by a dog, the worst thing you can do is confront them head on. Turn sideways, because a side profile is a calming signal. Okay. And then you glance at him and then glance away. You glance at me. What you're trying to do is just, as the dog turns, you keep your side to them and you try to spin your way like to your car or to your house. Because the majority of dogs don't have the oomph to come in and get you. They come from behind. Okay. They feel like, okay, you're running here and let me help you get going.
Okay.
And so that's why, but if you keep your side profile, which is non-competition, that's not, you know, it's friend, not foe. And then, like I say, you glance at him and then glance away and just get yourself to where you need to go, whether it be a car, whether it be a house or whatever type thing. Don't bring your arms out, you know, to them. Okay. And okay. So, you know, like I say, because then that's something that they can leap for. Keep your hands to yourself and just, you know, like put it in your front of your body, you know, type thing. Mm-hmm. And then, but the main thing is that, you know, people want to stand and stare at him like, what are you going to do? And then the dog starts moving to the side because he's trying to get to your behind to nail you from behind. Okay. But pit bulls in general, it's just like I say, do you know what dog has the most bites that people don't realize because they're never registered? Guess what it is?
Oh.
Chihuahua?
That's what I was going to say. Yep. A little dog.
Ding, 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 ding.
It's not surprising.
Chihuahua is the number one bite dog. Okay.
Wow.
But when you get bit by a Chihuahua, somehow it's a little bit different than a, you know, any other breed, you know, a bigger breed. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, like I said, any dog, any breed can be a not nice dog. It could be due to breeding where they're not, you know, their driveway doesn't go all the way to their garage. But the majority of it is the human element as far as their, like a lot of these pits that you see that it used to be, or it still is in a way, a status thing. You know, for people then, you know, that are not nice people, that they want the dog that just, you know, like, get them, you know, type thing. And then, unfortunately, when those get loose, then there's a problem, all right? Yeah. And so that's why, like I say, the overall general, like 99.9% of all pit bulls, Staffordshire Terriers, whatever, are awesome dogs. They really are. And some of them, like I say, but if they're bred wrong, but I've seen some golden retrievers that have not been a nice dog. I mean, I was like, whoa, okay, buddy, I'm backing off. Never mind.
Okay. Well, we have a neighbor that has, it looks like two pit bulls.
Okay.
But you said when they get together, a lot of time, well, we sort of live out in sort of a rural area. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't always have them on leashes.
Okay. Yeah.
So they just make me nervous.
Yep. Well, they do. Yeah. And the thing is, if you're really nervous, you know what the best thing to do? Bring some hot dogs with you.
Yeah.
And so if they start coming towards you, say, look what I got. Pitch the hot dog and then go on back. Don't ever run from a dog. Never. Because dogs have a high prey drive. It runs. I'm on it. You know, that's why I was telling, bring your hands into you. Keep the side profile and spin to where, like your car or whatever type thing. But the whole thing is that, you know, I just stay very calm. And nine times out of 10, you can get yourself out of anything. But usually
nothing's ever happened. I just wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah. And you know what that would be cool? Now, do you know these people?
Not real well, no.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say, I would go over and introduce myself and say, you know what? I'd like to meet your dogs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas you take the edge away. You know, whereas you get to meet the dogs. And so then now you're not so worried about them anymore. You know, just so instead of being worried, befriend them. Just kind of like, you know, people in your neighborhood. Not sure about that neighbor, but I'm going to bring him over some cookies and I'm just going to see how he's doing. And so that's a better way to handle it instead of, you know, have that fear is confront the fear. And so then you find out that you don't need any fear. Okay.
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 Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Have a great day. Thanks for the call.
Yep, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye. She's not the only one, you know, like this.
No, I have a large pit bull. And I understand it. There's a lot of information, both true and false, that circulates the world around
and
this
the big
species.
Yeah, and the big thing is that, you know, the news does not help because every time, you know, it's usually a pit or a pit mix. And so just remember, folks, it's not the dog's fault, it's the owner. You know, usually they're the ones that didn't socialize the dog right and maybe antagonize the dog, you know, to be a not nice dog. So, okay, we are going to go to break and come back for some more calls. Okay, you ready? What is a feral of what? A feral of what? F-A-R-R-O-W. We'll be back.
We sweat together. We grunt together. We meditate together. We play together. We dance together. We splash together. We breathe together.
And deep breath in.
We belong together. Join the YMCA to strengthen your basic human need for community. Learn more at ymcanorth.org.
Call. Okay, we're going to get to this. A pharaoh of what? What do you think? A pharaoh of?
A pharaoh of what?
What is it? A pharaoh, what is a?
It's pharaoh, though, right?
A pharaoh, F-A-R-R-O-W.
Birds of some variety.
Nope, pigs.
Pigs?
Yep.
Huh.
I knew that one because we raised pigs.
Yeah, and I've told you, I'm scared of pigs.
Are you really?
Yes, I told you. They are terrifying. They're smart and they eat people.
They don't eat people.
Yes, they do.
They do not.
Yes, they do.
The wild boars maybe not, but I don't think so. They're not carnivorous.
It's like a historical fact that they used to get rid of bodies and torture people and execute them by throwing them into pig pits.
If they maybe mulched them up a little bit, you know, but anyway. So, no. Pigs are, I love pigs. I love piglets. They are so cool. But I remember this. Because I told you, a pig cannot bite head on. They have to come up to you the side and then flip their head to get you. So, those tusks is what you got to worry about.
Yeah, I feel like everyone in medieval England died from some gruesome infection sustained boar hunting.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, let's head to the phone lines.
Well, we have Rachel up next, whose dog has become pretty leash reactive on walks with other dogs.
All righty then. Hello, how you doing?
Hey, great. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Well, thanks for calling. And what kind of dog do you got?
3-year-old Great Pyrenees female.
Oh, okay. And then what's going on?
She's gentle as can be. She goes to doggy daycare occasionally, and everybody loves her, and she gets along great with all the dogs, never any aggression. But when we go on our daily 2-mile walk for the past 3 years, anytime we pass a dog, whether it's across the street or along the sidewalk, she goes ballistic. I mean, barks her head off. She's 130 pounds.
Okay.
It takes all I've got to kind of, like, hold her down.
Okay. First stop. Okay. And so are you taking her for a walk with a training collar or a harness?
I take her with a harness.
Yes. And how? Let's think about this. You got a 100-pound dog. Harnesses restrain. They don't train. Okay. So what happens is that when you go to pull them back, they pull forward even more, even harder. Okay. Because you tighten the leash and now they think there's a problem, that you have the problem. Well, you technically don't, but now you created one because maybe a couple months ago or whatever, you know, she really decided to bark and then you really pulled back. Okay. And so then all of a sudden she's going to become thinking that you've got a problem. So, and what are Great Pyrenees bred for is to take care of something there, whether it be, you know, dogs, cats, humans, llamas or whatever type thing. Okay, yep. So what you need is, and Great Pyrenees is a very interesting dog. I've talked about him before because that's the only breed out of all the zillions of breeds that are out there, 400 and some, okay, that are truly have to be respected because you can leave them in a 1,000-acre pasture to take care of sheep, and that dog will not leave that sheep. They will be there and take it. And so the thing is that these Great Pyrenees now are winding up in households. Okay. A lot of them, as they get older, start becoming more guardy because they don't have a job. So then they decide to make their own job. And what their own job is, sometimes what they decide isn't exactly what you had in mind. Okay.
Okay.
So now with the Great Pyrenees, I swallowed wrong and now I'm paying the price here. But anyway, so. The thing is that, first of all, if this is what I would do, is that my guess when she sees another dog, when her head goes up and her tail goes up, you automatically kind of grab the leash and are ready to hold her back, right? You tighten it up.
Yep.
Okay, so now you send it down that you have the problem. So now she's becoming more reactive. Now she starts seeing this and she reacts almost before you react. Okay, so what is needed here is that... when she is walking on, when you are going for a walk with the harness, is she scanning in front of you or is she walking politely by your side?
I'm having her walk, you know, per your advice. I listen to you all the time.
Oh, well, thank you.
By my side.
Okay.
I should add that we were walking her on the gentle leader.
Okay.
And she does great on the gentle leader, doesn't pull. She's great on the leash. But even with the gentle leader, and so I don't know if that's the same as a training collar. I guess not.
Well, no. Well, then
do the same thing.
Okay. Some dogs will respond to the gentle leader. I would put that back on if I were you.
Okay.
But there again, then what you got to do is when she lunges ahead, you got to give her a bump. You know, with it. You know, you don't give it a snap like a regular training collar. You can't restrain her and pull it tight. You got to give it tap, tap, tap. Ah, leave it, and then. If she's looking ahead, you go to the right or in about turn, okay? So that she's not focusing on and reacting to. Do you understand?
Okay.
So now, okay, let's say we're going for a walk. You got the gentle leader on. Let's say her head goes up. She alerts to something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, instead of you choking up on the leash, you know, to restrain, being ready for the roar, 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 roar. Okay, you're going to say, hey, let's go, and quick spin and go the opposite direction or go to the right. Get her, when she can focus in on something, she's locked and she's almost ready to, then she's, the next step is loaded and then they react. All right.
Okay.
So what you've got to do is get into her head. The minute her head comes up, get it. Come on. Let's go over here. Come on. Let's over here. And then maybe point to a tree. Hey, what's this tree doing over here?
Redirect.
You know, redirect her in her head so that she doesn't lunge forward, you know, and then now you're looking for a tree to go around so you don't go onto your face because she's taking you away.
Well, right.
Yeah. And so the thing is that the worst thing that can happen here and how a lot of dogs become least reactive is because there was an episode at one time. So then you start getting nervous and then that nervousness goes through the leash to the dog. And like I say, Great Peers are guard dogs. Okay. Big fluffy guard dogs. And so now they feel they need to step up to the plate to help you. All right.
Okay.
And so the only other thing too, is that I would, you know, is she used to a regular collar?
No.
Okay. Because like I say, with this many poundage of dog, I would have you get you used to, a regular buckle collar. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Where you put the collar on and then let her drag the leash around, you know, in the house or whatever type thing, is that I would try a pinch collar, you know, on this, not fit snug. I hate people that fit these pinch collars snug. Whereas, and the thing is that gives you a little bit more, you know, oomph in case she, you know, to keep things under control. Because the biggest thing is we got to get you to kind of shake it off, zen out, so she doesn't pick up on your, like, I got to go help mom. Okay, even though technically you're not, what you're worried about is that for her to get away from you, all right? That's what you're more worried about. But that goes through the leash as you tighten up. And I know it's tough to just shake it off, but you want her to, you know, practice walking with the gentle leader again, you know, at her side. Remember, when you have the gentle leader on, when you look down, you should have a J where the hook drops down and then the leash hooks back up to your, so it's like a J going from your hand down and then up. Okay. And so that's what you want to do. Because the gentle leader would be fine. Just give it a tap. Hey. Get into her head. Hey, wrong. Let's go. Bring a squeaky toy and hit the squeaky toy in your pocket. And all of a sudden, she's locked on that whatever, you know, other person or dog. And then all of a sudden she hears a squeaky toy. It's like, whoa, where is it? Now you got her unlocked. Now redirect her. Let's go over here. Okay. What's this? And so then you learning to react before she reacts, then eventually it's going to start coming down where you won't need that anymore. Cause now you feel like you got a handle on it. And number two, why you being more relaxed and not tightening up, she's going to get over this of not being reactive. That pretty soon you'll be able to get closer and closer. And then eventually you should just be able to walk by and there isn't a problem. I shouldn't say eventually. Every dog's different. It could take 3 weeks. It could take 6 months. We don't know. It's how you handle the situation is how smooth this is going to get through. But you can get through this. And then now, how often does she go to doggy daycare?
Just like once a week.
Okay.
Yeah, once a week just to socialize her. And she loves it.
Well, this is my take on that. Okay. Dog play groups and parks and such like that. When we're young, we're all about the party. Bring it on, right? Yeah. The older we get, the more we do not want to party. All right. And I always use this analysis. Okay. Let's say when I was 18, I partied all night, came home, threw on a different pair of clothes, and went to work. I didn't even go to bed. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. When I was 20, 22, okay, I partied maybe 2 o'clock and I came home. Okay. Then I'm getting up to 24, 25. Yeah. Now it's maybe midnight. Okay. Now I'm getting up to 28, 29. You know, I think I'm just going to sit home and watch a movie and eat popcorn. We don't, as we get older, and so she's at that mark of 3 years old, whereas she's not into the party anymore. She just wants things to be calm and just kind of hang out. I would strongly, you're thinking, well, oh, go have some friends. My guess is that you might see her play a little bit, but she's more watching than she is intertwining. And okay. I wouldn't go to doggy daycare anymore because I would have her concentrate on you and not the other dogs because now, like I say, as the dogs get older, they don't want to play. And because she's a guard dog, she might start thinking that, you know, yeah, I just don't want to be here anymore. Where's my mom?
Yeah, right.
And so, like I say, even though it's once a week, but like I say, sometimes that interaction sometimes creates them to be a little bit more, you know, ominous about, you know, like seeing dogs in other walks. And so that's, but you, what you've got to do is remember to relax. Okay. Stay calm, chill out. And then, oh, what's this? And bring that squeaker toy. Squeak, squeak, squeak. You know, put it in your jacket pocket. Squeak, squeak, squeak. Yep. And so just redirect her. And then like, oh, what was that? You know, and your voice is going to be perky, positive. You know, don't get gruff. Bad dog, shame on you. That just adds to the anxiety that she's trying to figure this out with. Okay?
Okay. Oh, I love that. So I'm going to throw a squeaky. We go every day. So
okay.
Squeaky toy. I'm excited to try it.
Well, keep me posted because there's always something else we can do. But just be, don't react to her reaction. She already, the ears went up. She's locked in on something. Now you got to redirect immediately before, so you don't have to react to her reaction. Okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Keep me posted.
Thanks so much, Katie.
You bet. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Great Peers are phenomenal dogs. I feel bad that they are a true working dog. That, you know, people want them because they're big, gentle giants,
mm-hmm.
but they also have that side. They're a guardy dog, you know, so they can get a little uppity at times. So anyway, okay, here we go. What did the banana say to the elephant? What did the banana say to the elephant? We'll be back. All righty then. Okay. All right. What did the banana say to the elephant?
Can you do the splits?
Nothing. Bananas can't talk, silly.
Okay.
There you go.
This, what do they call it? An anti-joke?
There we go. My favorite joke all the time, and everybody said, why don't elephants wear tennis runners? Or why do elephants wear tennis runners?
Why?
Because 90s are too small and 11s are too big. I love that joke. I don't know why I remember that for ancient years. Let's head for the phone line.
Well, next up we have Mark, who is having a lot of trouble with his cats fighting in his house with each other.
Oh, no, that's not fun. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Doing good.
Good,
I
good.
I called about a month and a half to 2 months ago to get your advice on this.
Okay.
And you had suggested separating them for like a month.
Yep.
Which we've been doing.
Okay.
In fact, I travel, so I brought my one cat, and I thought this was weird. It's the male cat going after the female.
Yeah, it is. Yep. I remember this now. Yep.
Yep. It keeps happening. So we kept them separate. They didn't even see each other for literally a month.
Okay.
And now we only have them coming around when they're eating or, you know, positive times.
Yep.
I even got like the spray. It starts with the F.
The pheromones. Pheromones.
Yep. I even got a collar for him.
Okay.
I even got distractors. Just like when he starts to, cause I could tell now it's pretty obvious. Like he'll start to flutter his tail. He'll look at her. It's not being mean. He's not trying to like, I think he just wants to play with her. But
yep.
She's so pissed off. She has nothing to do with it, but then he won't stop. And then it like escalates really, really fast.
Okay.
So we haven't let it get to a point where it escalates. I did read you don't let cats just fight it out.
That's No, you don't.
No. So like last night and even this morning, you know, we're starting to slowly get them close to each other, you know, but right away, almost immediately, he wants to just go after her and play.
Uh-huh.
And like right now he's sitting on my lap just cuddling. So he's not like a mean cat.
Right.
And, you know, they'll be in the room. I don't know what triggers it, but half the time they'll be in the room for hours together. No problem. All of a sudden, boom, something happens.
But it's usually, it's really did she move?
No.
Okay, because that's what a lot of times, you know, if you're sitting there hanging out, if the other cat goes to move, like, I think I'm going to go over here and lay in the, and the, all of a sudden it's like, oh, it moved. Maybe I need to go.
Well, what triggered the whole thing is we fostered three kittens, mm-hmm. and we had them in the house, and that just changed the whole dynamic with our two main cats that we had.
Okay.
So since again, the kittens are gone, they have homes now.
Yep.
But ever since then, it's just changed the whole dynamic with these two, and we just don't know how to fix it.
Now,
I talked to my vet, and the vet wants to give them drugs.
No.
All set with that. I don't want to do that. Yeah.
No. Geez, I wish Dr. Jess was here. Why don't you email Dr. Jess, you know, Levy, holistic-vet-care.com. Tell her you're called to show. And anyway, and see, because I'm trying to see if there's, okay, what I would do, I would get rescue remedy. Okay, you want, they don't drink, okay, are you feeding dry, canned? What are you doing?
Oh, I've always done 100% raw.
Oh, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Okay, so then what I would do is I would take some rescue remedy and then, like, put a drop, like, let's say if you're doing raw, kind of put it in the center, make it like a little ball. Okay, try to get the rescue remedy in it, the guy, the boy. Okay, well, I'd do it both. I'd do both of them is what I would do, Jesse, because okay. You want to get the rescue remedy for pets. And the reason is that when you the human rescue remedy, it's got alcohol in it. And the only way you can use the human one is if you put it in the water. And my guess is your cats don't drink much water because you're feeding them raw, you know. So anyway, so that's why you got to get it into them. You could also try, because, you know, like dogs, but all of a sudden they can smell it's in there. You can also take and put like a drop, you know, like if you take the dropper and go to the side, you know, through the side of the cheek there and just give them, you know, one or two drops. You could do that too. Okay. I don't know. What I do is I scruff the cat, you know, I mean, behind the back of the neck, just kind of grab it and then kind of turn it a little bit. And so, and then, you know, quick, give them whatever they need to give. And then, you know, I'm quick about that, I guess. But okay. So you could try that. But that's what I would do is try to do rescue remedy for a week. Try to do it like two or three times a day, if possible. It's not something that, you know, whereas maybe when you guys are going to be home, that's the time to do it. Do it like as soon as you get home, do it. So then as it takes effect, that like you're hanging out at home and stuff like that, you hopefully both of them would just kind of zen out a little bit. All right. But because you can't OD them on rescue remedy. And anybody, you know how they have like complex and stress free for dogs? I was trying to figure out in my head here. I know they got one for cats, but I don't know if CBD oil can be used for cats or anything like that. And that'd be a question for Dr. Jess, because that's what I would try to do.
What's that email again?
Oh, it's not the email. Her website is holistic-vet-care.com. holistic-vet-care.com. That's Dr. Levy. Okay, say you called the show, and you called a month ago, too. But anyway, and then what you're just looking for, something to relieve the stress between two cats. That because now, the take I take on this, it's not like you said, the male wants to kill her. Okay?
No.
It's just that he just is being too much of an imp. You know what I mean? Just poking, goading. He's like, come on. And then he gets carried away, right? She gets ticked.
That's exactly it.
Yep. And so that's why, like I said, so this is a different, you know, other than being mad at each other. Okay. This is just different. And so that's why, like I say, I would try that rescue remedy. And you got the pheromones.
Well, she's pretty pissed at him. Nothing's worse than the wrath of a woman.
Yeah.
You can see it with her. And you could see with him, like, his tail will start to flick a little bit, and you could tell he wants to, like, just play or whatever, and then she just starts doing the howling hiss, you know, that really bad one, like,
Yeah. But, yeah, try that rescue remedy for pets. And then, like I say, send Dr. Jess an email, because there might be some Bach flowers. See, with dogs and cats, they can't take the same things. Right away for a dog, I can, you know, I know what needs to be done. But with cats, there's so much more sensitive on things. You have to really pay attention to what you do for a cat. And I say, I don't, I just can't remember off the top of my head, other than Rescue Remedy. I know there's something else, but I just can't remember it. So if you just tickle her and just say you called the show and just see if she's got some ideas, for you. But you're doing the right thing. Just, get in there before all hell breaks loose. You know what I mean? And just work it together. Just hopefully someday we can get these two, saying, oh, okay, no big deal. But do the Rescue Remedy for both of them. Okay.
Okay.
For both of them. And whether you want to try putting in a little bit of food or if you want to just try to put it inside the cheek. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, sounds good. 2 to 3 times a day, 1 or 2 drops each time.
Yes. And then keep me posted. If you have to, call me up at Katie's Canine too. But email Dr. Jess too and see what her thoughts are. Okay?
You said it's a website though, not an email.
Well, you got to go to her website to email her. Email through her website.
And I'll pick it up or you're throwing down.
Okay. Well, good luck, kiddo. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, cats, man.
Well, he's the one that I think he said that he has a cat that travels with him.
Yeah.
I remember his call.
I do. I remember it as well.
Yeah. And so the thing is that I'm just impressed. When you can get a cat that likes to travel in the car, and is very relaxed about it. Like when you open the door, it's not like, I'm out of here. They just, hey, you leaving? I had 2 cats like that. It was pretty funny.
I love when cats just have really easygoing personalities because cats are always just so crazy. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, you'll find that cat that's just like, dog attitude.
Whatever. Yes.
They're Maine Coons.
Whatever. Yeah, we got this. We got this. Oh, well, what can we say? But okay, who's up next?
No one. You have about 8 seconds before hear a rat bed.
Well, 8 seconds. Well, then whoever's in the line, please hang on. And if you want, you got a question for me, we're down. Come back. We'll be in the second hour of the KDK 9 show. Give a holler. 651-641-1071. Okay, what is a chatter of what? A chatter of what? All right. And then here's why did the banana go to the doctor? We're giving you toofies. We'll be right back.